morning, and welcome to the Kenmare Resources PLC half-yearly results call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today I'm pleased to present Michael Carvill, Tony McCluskey, and Jakob Desle. Please begin your meeting.
Hi folks, Michael speaking. Thanks everybody for attending the call. This is just to go through our half-yearly results, which we released first thing this morning. I thought I would just give a quick summary of where we see the results and where we see the situation going forward, and then invite questions from everyone, and hopefully that'll be useful. Just on the results, our production for the first half was 276,000 tons of ilmenite and 23,000 tons of zircon, which was a lower level of production than we had anticipated at the outset of the year, and that was caused by challenging mining conditions and a very volatile energy or electricity supply during the first quarter of the year and running actually into the second quarter as well. However, because we had a significant re-rating in the prices of our products, which are ilmenite and zircon and rutile, we have had a significant improvement in revenue up to $109 million, and from that resulting improvements in profit and EBITDA. Just in terms of the mining conditions that we dealt with, what happened was we had slightly elevated levels of clay in the ore body. And what that does is it reduces the throughput of the dredges. And how we've responded to that is that we have put in two dry mining operations, supplementary dry mining operations. The first one we had already commissioned at the start of the year at 500 tons per hour. We increased that to 1,000 tons per hour. And just at the middle of the year, just at the end of the half, we commissioned the second dry mining operation, DM2, which has a 1,000 tons per hour capacity. So as it happens, we are now beyond that particularly difficult mining area, and dredge output has improved quite significantly. But in addition to that, we now have the two dry mining operations available. Because we have moved from the raining season into a more settled climatic period, voltage has stabilized, and we are in process of putting in a voltage stabilization system, which we expect to be in place by the start of the next raining season, and so we won't get into that highly difficult area of having many brownouts in a single day that causes so much difficulty in the past. In addition to that, the state utility, state electrical utility called EDM, has just is in process of putting in a new static variable controller on the line, which will have the effect of improving voltage stability as well. So in addition to our own project-specific initiatives to improve voltage stability, the state supply contractor, state supply utility, is making efforts itself to improve voltage stability. So all in all, that those things augur well for our production in the second half. And since the turn of the year, since the end of June, our production has improved nicely. We're tracking very well for our prediction of 630,000 tons of total production for the year, total ilmenite production for the year, and 50,000 tons of zircon. We're very pleased with the way things have gone in the meantime. In addition, there's just one point of sort of new news in the interim reports, and that's we have achieved agreement with the union and with our workforce on a wage settlement for the next 12 months. We're happy with that. It's in sort of real terms, it's sub 10%, and it's something that took quite a bit of negotiation, but we feel that it's been well accepted, and it augurs well for good labour relations in for the next 12 months. Market. We've all seen and heard from Iluka with regard to the zircon market, and our understanding of the zircon market is that that there are significantly reduced offtakes of zircon, and that the market has been balanced by independent decisions made by major mining companies to restrict their supply to balance the market. And that has been of benefit to us, of course. We're a small supplier of zircon, and our customers have maintained their requirement for delivery from us, and so that's been fine. We believe that zircon supply in the future is extremely limited. And as soon as any form of recovery occurs in the market, it will not take too long to absorb the inventory of material in the market, and pretty quickly you'll find supply constraints being the dominating factor again. That's how we see the zircon market. The ilmenite market, pigment market, has seen a significant reduction in offtake of pigment, quite dramatic. There's a destocking function occurring in the paint manufacturing business that can't go on indefinitely, and there has to be a restocking occur at some stage, or refilling of the pipeline, and we're reasonably confident, save some major global economic disaster, that the ilmenite market will continue to be as strong as it presently is, which is good. We have renegotiated our prices for the second half of 2012 on those contracts that were 6 monthly contracts and required renegotiation, and the majority of those have seen small price increases, but price increases nonetheless. I'm sure you're going to have further questions on the market, and I've asked Ian Keenan to join us. He's here. He's our marketing manager, and he'll give you more detailed analysis when you ask him questions. As far as our expansion, we have been reviewing the program. We still believe the program is capable of being completed in this year, and we are focused on commissioning of the wet concentrator plant B, which is the final part of the expansion program, in the latter part of December, that seems to be well set. We have mobilized Kents as an additional contractor to site to provide additional erection capacity. They're fully mobilized now. They're working on auxiliary ilmenite plant and the brownfields changes to the mineral separation plant. That's going well. The construction team inside is incentivized for a completion at the end of the year, and believe that they have the resources to complete that. So Basically, that's where we are. That would leave us ramping up phase two in the first half of 2013, and hopefully running at full speed from at the new production rate from the middle of the year onwards. So basically, that's where we are. We'd like to invite questions from people. So if we could go ahead.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Cedar Ekblom of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Thanks very much. Hi, Tony and Michael. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us. I just had a quick question. Can you talk about the cost development in the first half of the year? Where you're seeing pressures to cost, potentially some labor inflation, and what your expectations are going into the second half of the year? Thanks.
Thanks, Cedar. Tony McCluskey here. We've seen costs move forward in 2012 versus 2011, and the presentation that we sent out has some detail on this on pages 32 and 33. If people want to flick to that, to those slides, but essentially it's really the same story as we discussed at the analyst call following our 2011 results. So. Primarily, the cost increases that we saw coming through from 2011 relate to labour. We had an increase in rates due to the wider competitive industry situation, and particularly in Mozambique, when you've got Rio and Vale and other large projects starting to employ more people, and that's put pressure on rates within Mozambique. Also, in H1 2012, we've had some increase in numbers, in part due to the dry mining that Michael talked about, as well as additional resources to deal with the mining conditions which we faced in the earlier part of the first half of the year. So that's labour. A little bit of a similar theme in engineering, partly due to industry inflation, but also because of the additional resources that we brought on board to tackle the dry mining, additional mobile equipment and the like. But I suppose I would point out that the H1 2011 to H1 2012 increase is quite marked, because that's how we do the comparison. That's how everybody does the comparison. But if you look at the H2 2012, a lot of the labour increases were absorbed in there. And the H2 12 cash operating costs are not too different from the H1 costs in 2012. So, you know, I don't see this as an ongoing situation where it's going to continue to rattle on. I think we've got it under control. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. So just in terms of the costs associated with the additional resources for dry mining, should we expect those costs to come off in the future, or must we assume that the dry mining circuits are now probably a more permanent feature of MoMa?
Well, in the medium term, we can expect that the dry mining costs will continue. But we flagged earlier this year that the board has approved a decision to buy an additional larger dredge, which we expect to build and bring in perhaps in something like 18 months into operation. And at that stage, we'll move back to, I expect, being a full dry mining or a dredge mining operation. The issues that we faced over the last year and a half really have been issues associated with the capacity of the dredges, Cedar. The ore body is eminently mineable, mineable by dredges, sand mineable. And it's just that these areas that we're in are difficult for our existing dredges. The existing dredges are a bit light. So I expect the new dredge, which we will buy, will be able to bring us back and leave us as a complete pond mining operation. That'll bring our operating costs back down again.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Richard Morgan at Mirabaud Securities. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just a question on possible Phase 3, i.e. a second expansion. In the past, you talked about there was a pre-feasibility study underway and it might be due for completion towards the end of this year. Is that still the plan? And have you given or can you give us any guidance as to what a Phase 3 might look like in terms of size, capex, etc.?
Hi, Richard. This is Jacob Dace speaking. In terms of Phase 3, yes, we are currently busy with pre-feasibility study. The intention at this stage is to have something towards the first part of next year, to have a draft out that will then be discussed with the board and see the viability in terms of advancing that to a full feasibility phase. The thinking around a Phase 3 is currently around 800,000 tons of increased capacity, which will take our full capacity or output per annum to 2 million tons of ilmenite. And that's roughly where the thinking is at this stage.
Okay. And would you be confident at this stage that there is a market for that material?
Do you want to? I'll hand over to Michael.
Okay,
yeah, Richard. Look, I mean, it looks very positive in terms of both the engineering, production, feasibility of the project, and a market destination for the product. Some of that product would be destined for upgrading facilities, as opposed to all just going directly to the pigment market and the metal markets. So there would be a combination of markets for that material, but it looks very positive. It all looks great. However, you know, on Phase 3, you know, we have to caution and add that, you know, it has to be something that all of the stakeholders of Kenmare are in consensus that it's a positive thing to do, and something that, you know, we are all familiar with. Just at the moment, people are very concerned about cost escalation and capex associated with large mining projects. So what we're doing is we're working through this feasibility study as carefully as we possibly can to ensure that that it's completely covered on the engineering and cost side before moving anywhere forward.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question is from the line of Jerry Hennigan of Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Jerry Hennigan, Goodbody Stockbrokers. Just following up on that previous question there with regard to Phase 3 expansion, it sounds, Michael, that while you're doing you may start a feasibility study next year, you're unlikely to really kickstart anything, even if you go ahead with it until at least 2014. Would that be the case?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe also if you can just give us some idea in terms of what the new wage agreement will have and your impact in terms of your costs. Like, is that a long-term agreement, and should we expect some sort of indexing going forward? Like, is it a multi-year contract in with the workforce?
It's Tony Wotowski here, Jerry speaking. It's a one-year agreement. As Michael said, it's in real inflation-adjusted terms, less than 10%. And, I mean, frankly, I think it's got all the normal features that you would expect of a wage agreement. There's no sort of long-term significant implications.
But the intention here, Tony, would be obviously to renegotiate it maybe in a year's time. Is that the view?
Yeah, exactly. As we did last year, I think that it's settled down nicely, compared to last year.
Okay, one other question, if I can. On the Phase 2 expansion, you're indicating, obviously, that you're hoping to get all things going well, that maybe you'll be able to get up to rated capacity by the mid to the end of next year. Do you think is it feasible at this stage to be able to get up to rated capacity by mid-year of 2013?
Jerry, this is referring to Phase 2 expansion. The intention now is we'll commissioning will be complete by the end of this year with a ramp-up phase over 6 months. So essentially we're aiming to have ramped-up production by the middle of 2013.
Okay, thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Jeremy Dibb at Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now.
Hi, guys. Just a question. I think you've kind of covered it, but phase two was obviously started planning prior to the fluctuations that you've seen in the clay levels and the ore body and the mining conditions. Are you confident that the new dredge you're putting in for phase two will be able to supply enough feeds HMC to the mineral separation plant throughout the fluctuations you've seen?
Hi, Jeremy. It's Sharpie speaking. Yes, if I maybe ask you to just page to slide 18, which is a picture of the new dredge for phase two.
Sure.
Just to give you a bit of an understanding of how the dredge was actually developed, the dredge for phase two was developed based on ore body consolidation and information that we had from phase one, as well as the actual operating experience out of phase one. And if you look in comparison, there's a table on that picture of the new dredge. That dredge is currently fully assembled, and we're awaiting the finalization of the WCPB plant for commissioning. But there's a comparison between SPI, which is the new dredge, compared to our existing dredge. And just in terms of cutter pressure there, you can see the difference, 750 kilowatts as opposed to our existing dredges of 280 kilowatts, pump capacity of 2,250 kilowatts compared to 750 kilowatts on the existing dredge. And then another important feature, especially when it comes to mining conditions, is the winch pull of 40 tons compared to 12 tons. This dredge that you see there is supplying the concentrator, which is rated at 2,000 tons per hour. But based on the rating of the dredge, we've got over 3,000 ton capacity from this dredge. And that was calculated based on the mining conditions that we're foreseeing in phase one.
Okay, that's great. And just one other quick question. I'm sure it's not at the forefront of your current plans, but what are you thinking with regards to monetizing the monazite stream, and when do you foresee you'd be able to do that?
We in the process, we finalized just a brief update on that. The key aspects have really been in terms of permitting and the likes, export permits and the likes. All of that has been approved and finalized. We've done the preliminary design, and we're in the process of optimizing that design. And really what the design is about is conveying of the material out of the existing MSP into a storage shed and from there on to our existing jetty infrastructure. The key aspect at this stage, Jeremy, is really the focus on, as Michael mentioned, on phase one, also on phase two. And we would like to close the specifically phase two out before we start with the monazite project. And it's not just because of the focus, but it's also because of just resource constraints, accommodation and the likes on site. So as we taper down with phase two, that will free up resources towards the end of this year. And we will then revisit the costing of that and get board approval to move forward with that. So in terms of initiating that project, I can't really see that happening before the end of this year.
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Karen Crowley at Davy. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Thanks, guys, for your time. Just a couple of questions. You talk in the statement about softer market conditions for pigment producers, and I'm just wondering whether any of your pigment customers have tried to delay or defer delivery of their orders for feedstocks. Secondly, on the market as well, of the production that you've sold forward in H2, how much of that is going to Chinese customers? A third question for Tony, just on the financials, just regarding operating costs, Tony, could you guide what percentage is fixed and what percentage is variable? And finally, I suppose, Michael, just for you on the pre-feasibility study for phase three, talked about looking at the market for sending the ilmenite to be slagged, and I'm just wondering, does the pre-feasibility study also look at Kenmare buying a smelter for operation either in Mozambique or elsewhere? Thanks.
Just on the first part of that, there have been a couple of calls from customers who have said, look, maybe we can push some of this stuff into early next year. In the main, you know, in discussion with us, they say, okay, well, look, we'll take it, or there is a small component that might be still open for discussion. But most of our customers are taking the material as they have previously prescribed from us. So it's not, if there is a small component of that, it's a small component. What was the next one? It was...
Sorry, the next one was just on the how much of the H2 forward sold production is for delivery to Chinese customers.
I don't believe any. Eamon's here.
Hi,
Eamon.
In total for 2012, we probably put about 120,000 tons of ilmenite into China. I think in the between now and the end of the year, we're actually loading over the next, say, 10 days, we're loading two vessels for China, about 20,000 tons each. And then we envisage probably another shipment in October of about 25,000 tons. And that's basically all the material that we have available.
Okay, thanks.
So your next question was percentage fixed versus variable costs, and the answer is just over 70% is fixed. I mean, the vast majority of our costs are engineering and labour and the like, and frankly, for relatively modest changes, you know, absent a material shutdown, which is obviously not planned, those costs will continue and endure. So, so over 70% is fixed. The last question was about a smelter.
There's no smelter component in the pre-fees.
Okay, thanks guys.
Our next question is from the line of Vishal Drolia of GMP Securities. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, gents. Most of our questions are answered, but I just have one more question, if I may. On the capex for phase two, I guess about $150 million is yet to be spent, and I guess you have a cash balance of $95 million around with the $60 million raising. Do you expect the rest of the capex to be funded through cash flows from H212, or there? I mean, there are financing costs as well over and above that. So yeah. I was wondering. Yeah, sorry.
Tony here responding. Vishal. There's basically three sources of funds for the expansion of $350 million.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, there's the funds that we raised in Q1 2010 as part of our large equity raising. Secondly, there's the access that we have to the operating cash flows that you rightly point out there, and that's $65 million from operating cash flows, plus we have agreement with lenders to use an additional $15 million of management fees. This is as agreed with our project lenders in December last year. And that 65 is being generated at the moment and is expected to be generated between now and the end of the year. And then there's an additional component of about $30 million, which we will fund from the equity raising that we completed in July. So if you add all those up, they come up to $350 million. Now, you may recall that we raised $60 million gross in July, so there's quite a bit of headroom in that, but the funding of the expansion is fully covered from those sources.
Okay. So, I mean, the cash balance at the end of H212 doesn't include some of the cash that you have to be received from customers.
Exactly. That's right. I mean, I didn't go through it in detail, but there was $44.5 million trade and receivables at the end of June, and it also doesn't include the funds that we raised in July.
Yeah.
So the cash balance at the end of June is $35 million. So, you know, the additional cash we'd have access to would be debtors, and of course we're generating cash now through the course of the second half of the year. And you've seen how the project cash generation has improved with our improved operating profit which has gone from 10 to 47 million, and the EBITDA has gone up to 55.5 million in the first year.
Sure.
Year. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Muna Malaya of Merrin Securities. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Hi, gentlemen. I have just two questions. One is the relation to production. What is the current production in relation to capacity? And I think you expect disruption in this fourth quarter as a result of the expansion project. How much of that disruption are going to get, and is it going to affect production for the fourth quarter? And the second question is, you mentioned earlier that there was a small price increase for H2 2012. What percentage of contracts did you manage to get price increases for? Thank you.
Just to let you know that at present, the operation is running at full rated capacity.
The tie-in work.
Quite a few.
In terms of the tie-in, we do foresee some tie-in work taking place. We've taken that into consideration in our forecast with the 630, and the way that we will do that is we're tying that in with our existing planned maintenance, which we're factored in. So yes is the answer, but we factor that into the forecast.
So you are producing at capacity at the moment?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay.
And then on price increases?
Eamon, John? Eamon here. I'd say, just off the hand, we negotiated about 30% of our contracts. We got price increases for. We have a number of contracts where we have annual pricing in place for them.
Okay.
So they were unaffected.
Plus the legacy contract.
Plus we have a legacy contract which carries forward.
There's also another phenomenon, Muna, which is that we had some tonnage for 2011, which flowed into the first half of 2012 at significantly lower price level than the 2012 price level. So even without any contract renegotiation, we would see some slight uplift in the second half.
And of course, we're talking about upside here because zircon and rutile are sold on a shipment-by-shipment basis.
Okay. Can I just get back on the production side? You said that currently you kind of gone over the clay patch in the mining. Now, out the car, you say you're producing at capacity, and how much of that is from the actual dredges, and how much of it is dry mining at the moment?
In terms of the dry mining, we've got both operations running, and the priority is from the dredges itself. So I would say at about 70% or thereabouts is coming from the dredges, with the remaining made up by the dry mining, and that changes. I mean, we've had and it changes with just the mining conditions. We've seen instances where the dredges were fully supplying the concentrator, and we cut back on the dry mining by quite a bit, and that will fluctuate throughout this year. But we believe with that 2,000 capacity that we do have on the dry mining, that would sustain us to keep the concentrator full over a range of conditions for the remainder of this year.
Okay. And is there any saving on costs when you suspend dry mining?
No, not at this stage. The main cost is really fixed. It's very similar to what Tony mentioned there. So there will be some savings in terms of fuel and the likes, but mainly of it would be fixed.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Fletcher Tully at Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Just quickly, I was wondering if you're planning on taking any legal action against the contractors regarding the inaccuracies around the strongback measurements.
Yeah, look, we don't believe it's just the right moment to launch a legal suit with any of the participants in the project. What we're focused on right now is is getting them complete and getting them finished in time. However, we have written to the fabricator and the contractor saying that we reserve our position and we see that they have a liability with regard to this and that we will we'll be taking this up with them in due course. So we have reserved our position on it.
Thanks very much.
Just to remind all participants that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your keypad now and press 02 to cancel. There'll be a further pause while questions are being registered. Our next question is from the line of Jerry Hennigan at Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead. Your question, your line is now open.
Just a follow-up question on your exposure to China in the second half of the year. Those shipments that you're planning to make in the next few weeks and in October, are they ilmenite shipments or zircon shipments? And maybe if you can also indicate where you are with regard to rutile. From recollection, I think you said that you hope to do a rutile shipment by the end of this year as well.
Sorry, I didn't catch the very end of that.
With regard to, from recollection, I recall that maybe you were hoping to do a rutile shipment this year as well. Is that still in the plans, or would it fall into 2013?
No, we're still planning a rutile shipment later this year. Yes, we're in discussions with our customer at the moment about that. Regarding the shipments that I mentioned earlier on, They're ilmenite shipments, but we are also shipping zircon to China as well. We have a zircon shipment of about 5,000 tons, actually, that's being loaded over the next week or so as well. It's a combined shipment with, you know, ilmenite and zircon. And we're also planning possibly another one or two shipments to China of the secondary zircon product that we produce later in the year as well. So there's good offtake demand from our customers for that material.
Okay, thanks very much.
Once again, if you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As there are no further questions, gentlemen, can I please return the call for you?
Okay, well, look, thanks everybody for giving the time to listen to our explanations of our results, and look forward to seeing everybody later on in the year, and good luck, and thanks very much. Goodbye.
This now concludes our call. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your line.